This is Boss Barrel Radio for the week of 2/20/2017. Your President's Day, President's Day, President's Day. The day in which we remember all of the presidents, all of our favorite presidents. Who's your favorite president right now?
Jewish Garfield.
I'm imagining Jewish Garfield the cartoon with just a Jewish cat, which that's is what just I Garfield. Meant.
The, what, he's, he loves lasagna hats? And he's dreidels. Just,
he's like, I want lasagna, but no meat in my lasagna. Because it's he's dairy
just,
in there.
He's decked out in full-on Hasidic gear and has just the biggest beard.
Let me also tell you that voice I just did was not a Jewish version of Garfield. I think Garfield normally talks like that.
But any and all not, Jewish...
No, wait. Garfield hates the Sabbath day.
Any and all Jewish jokes you make are okay because I'm Jewish. Everyone should know that. So I can say anything I want, and I'm good. Just FYI.
Not
so
like our Jewish jokes
by proxy, are we?
Benign.
Did you grant us? Did you grant us diplomatic immunity as well?
Diplomatic immunity. Yes.
Okay. Excellent.
Has just been revoked.
What are your guys' favorite presidents?
My favorite president is. Space Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
He comes from the year 2035.
Oh, so we're talking future presidents too, mm-hmm. huh?
Oh man,
yep. He's gonna be president of Earth.
Mm-hmm.
For 30 minutes.
33 years, I thought. Isn't that how old when he
30?
Not according to Jewish Garfield. He definitely was around.
Griffin, who's your favorite president?
My favorite president is your favorite president and my favorite president. You may just not have realized it yet, but it is Kevin Sorbo from the from the video game in which the presidents came from the future to defeat the alien menace.
Wait, is Kevin Sorbo really in a video game?
I'm pretty certain his face was like vocapped for it.
I'm pretty sure that Kevin Sorbo is going to be president in a Christian movie like within the next year.
I'm pretty sure that Kevin Sorbo has a line
is
of
the
furniture.
President. Oh, I always stub my foot on that Kevin Sorbo. Pisses me off.
I'm Googling this because I'm 100... Yes, it is real. If you Google it, it's real. He was featured in Furniture Today.
Furniture Today?
He was featured in Furniture Today.
Is that how good his acting career has gotten at this point, where he's... purely just an object in the room.
Furniture today, tomorrow the world.
You know, it really puts a different meaning on chewing the scenery.
You know how I felt when I saw Kevin Sorbo's furniture? Disappointed!
Apparently,
I'm assuming you guys know that reference.
Mm-mm.
What?
Hasta me.
Oh, Jesus Christ. There's a video of Kevin Sorbo doing a bad line reading where he literally reads the stage direction. So he goes, wait a minute, this isn't my home. And then, because it says disappointed at all caps, he just yells, disappointed!
I did hear this.
Guys, I'm just going to be laughing constantly the entire podcast.
No, it's good. We're punchy now. It's better than being asleep.
That's
yeah,
true.
Much better than being asleep.
If I don't stop laughing, I'll just die.
Bad way to go.
If the bus goes under 50 laughs per minute.
If I don't stop laughing, I'll just start playing Neo.
If Kevin doesn't appear in enough furniture magazines per minute,
he'll have to
dies.
Come back from the dead to be in God's Not Dead 3.
Do you think Yeesh. Kevin Sorbo's career is essentially a Souls game where he just dies over and over again?
Kevin Sorbo, for the audience members that didn't know, plays a disgruntled atheistic philosophy professor in God's Not Dead, who in the climax of the movie is literally killed by a bus while the protagonist attends a Christian rock concert.
Deserved it. Asshole.
So, apparently Christians like to kill their enemies with vehicles.
Yeah, haven't you read the history of Forever?
That's true.
That's how... Pontius Pilate died. Got hit by a school bus.
They were going to go with Drawn and Quartered, but they decided that they needed to modernize.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Jamie, you were talking about Neo?
Yeah. That game's real good and really, really hard.
It is really good.
Since we last spoke, I beat the first real boss on my own, and I was very proud of this. It took me, I would say, 20 tries, at least. And I figured out that you could block his stuff, a lot of it, which is, like, very not intuitive. Who would think that you could block a boss, but...
It's very Dark Souls, is what I would call it.
No, I thought people say you can't block bosses in Dark Souls.
No, you can.
Usually, when you block bosses in Dark Souls, they just are so multifaceted that if you block one hit, then you get hit 15 more times underneath that hit.
They
so
tend,
it's like,
they tend
what's
to
the
break
point
your
of the block?
Stamina, but you can block them in a pinch.
Yeah.
But it's fair.
In Neo, it's very different, where if you get hit and it depletes all your stamina, it doesn't start degrading your life. Like, you get a freebie, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
Then I got to the second boss, and... This boss, whenever she hits you, she stuns you. Paralyzes you, rather. And you literally remain paralyzed until she hits you again. But this is the kind of game where if you get caught up in a combo, you're just going to die. So...
Does her second hit paralyze you a second time? Because that would be brutal.
No, I think,
it doesn't.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, if you had an amulet that you picked up earlier in this level, you can withstand some hits without getting paralyzed. However, I did not find this amulet. So I was just, like, hitting up against this boss and just failing time and time again. I don't know how many times I failed. Also, just one of the most aggressive bosses I've seen in a video game. Granted, I haven't seen the Souls games, but she's just, like, on you immediately. And she has these huge three-hit combos that are sweeping.
I have a few questions for you.
It's not that bad of a boss, to be honest.
This is the one you
said you couldn't beat.
I couldn't beat it because I was drinking, but my cohort beat it.
I don't know. I've watched plenty of YouTube videos, and people are pretty.
I was able to match. I can explain all the patterns to you at this point. I just couldn't make the things happen.
Let me ask you guys some important questions. Number one, is paralysis a meter that fills up and then you're paralyzed?
No.
Okay. So it's not Dark Souls.
No.
Question number two. How are those titties?
Dope. Dank.
This is a Koei Tecmo game.
There's some Cash Me Outside levels of boobies.
Perfect. I'm really happy to hear it.
Third question, go.
Why is my copy of Neo not coming until April for some reason?
Because you don't believe in a fourth question, go.
How tall is the main character?
7,000 feet tall. Fifth question.
Time is no time. Space and time is of no need in Neo.
Time is a flat circle. Go.
When do you get the boomerang?
Wendy's is not part of this game. Next.
Water temple. Go.
Is the last boss hard?
It's rigid, turgid, super duper erect.
Wait, turgid? Doesn't that mean cloudy? No, that's turbid.
Yeah.
Fuck, man. Turbid and turgid. Can we spend the rest of the cast on turbid and turgid?
I already am. Both.
Alright.
Your analyses are described as turbid if the appearance of the urine is cloudy.
Yo, you got a UTI if that happens.
Yeah, exactly.
Or maybe a STD.
Let me know. Let me get a taste.
Do you just take a little sip?
Just get a little sippy sip.
Do you dip your finger in and then lick it and then hold it up to the wind?
Mmm. That's how you know.
No, he takes a little dip and then just rubs it all over the gums.
Yeah.
You gotta get that direct delivery.
That's how you do it. Uh-huh. Doctoring's tough, guys.
Yeah, that's what the difference is between just a barber surgeon and a real for realsies doctor.
Yeah. People are like, that's weird and maybe illegal. And I'm like, I'm going back to our roots as because people have been doing this for thousands of years.
Snake staff.
Yeah.
Your little model one that you keep in your office.
Crow mask. I also do wear a crow mask the entire time that I'm doctoring. And a billowing black cloak.
Jimmy, how many times do you not prescribe diuretics to people?
Never.
Exactly.
Wait, how many times do you not prescribe Dianetics to people? Because I understand that can cure all of your ills. Unlike those hocus-pocus psychiatric medications.
Anyway, besides what Drunk Griffin thinks, this boss is really hard. So I summoned a person,
I didn't even know you could do that.
To come help me fight.
I summoned a real human being to come help me.
And they came, and it was awesome, and it was so much fun. And it was actually different than fighting the boss, like, one-on-one. It's a different type of, like, consideration, because you're both vying for those, you know, temporary moments where they're open. So you have, like, I've done this 3 times now, because this game's hard, and I suck at it, but I like playing it. So I call people in for the bosses. And so, like, with all the 3 dudes that I've called in, we've, like, tag-teamed, like, there's an opening, I'll get that one, and then he gets the next one, and that way, if one of us gets caught in a combo, there's enough time to heal. It's actually really fun.
How are you communicating this to another human being?
You're not
actually using voice chat, are you?
No voice chat at all.
Okay, thank God.
So there's an emote system. When the person... First of all, you have to use an item that you'll have a finite amount of to call someone in.
Didn't know that.
And
is it a cracked scarlet orb? Or a cracked red orb?
It's like a pot of something?
No, Jeff, it's a cracked lead orb. Sorry, that was bad.
And then there's an emote system. So when they come... Everyone bows when they come in, but I didn't know there was an emote system.
Can you praise the sun when they show up?
No.
Just curious. Oh, okay.
This game is better than those games.
That goes very good.
This game has 60 frames per second. Those games have 30 frames per second. You do the math.
So without, like, breaking down the analysis here, that level, the second level, is one, since I haven't played the third level after it, so far the best level in the game because of the intro animation with the cat. The cat could quite possibly be character of the year, no questions asked, forever and ever, amen.
Agreed. I can't believe I'm farther in this game than you. I actually proceeded and beat the next level after that, and I beat the final boss of that level by myself.
Oh, baby!
Go you. Nice.
You big boy.
And he was a fast-moving humanoid.
I feel like this is your gateway drug to Dark Souls, Jamie. You should go back afterwards and give it a shot.
I think you're good right here.
I think I have, like, another, like, 40 hours of this at least to go, so...
Stick with Neo. I mean, Neo's a good thing.
Oh, yeah, no, I mean, definitely stick with Neo, but I'm just curious to see if it'll take... Because what you described to me sounds so Soulsy that I can't help but think that it is that.
And
but, I mean...
I think that's also why when in my eyes, the boss was definitely not as complicated as... maybe it wasn't Jamie's, just because I've been in that driver's seat before.
You've been in hell.
Yeah. And to be honest, like, not like a paralysis status effect, which you can get out of and you can mitigate at a very, very easy level, comparatively to Dark Souls, is just a walk in the park.
Hmm. The thing is, when you guys describe it, it sounds like the actual, like, action of playing the game is just more complicated than Dark Souls. I think we've already covered this, but is it a more complicated game to play and control than Dark Souls?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
And it's simply because the stances mean... The stances and the additional abilities that come along with that mean you have a lot more, like, micromanagement to do during combat, mm-hmm. but the game also then, you know, gives you... It also extends an olive branch in that it surfaces the stamina meter of the thing you're fighting, so you can tell when it is exhausted. And the degree in which, like, enemies have move sets that are kind of, like, weird and unpredictable is a lot more limited than Dark Souls. And, like, the dick moves of, like, walk around this corner and something comes out and instantly kill you is maybe once per level instead of 15 times per level. And it's never like, oh man, this is impossible to get by. I gotta get lucky to get through it. It's like, okay, I know it's there. I can easily navigate around it now. I know what I have to do.
Gotcha.
It's a matter of just actually, like, there's so much more emphasis on combat skill than there is on, like, inane knowledge of how to play the game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I'm even a little farther. I actually made it to the next continent. Like, you finish up at that starting area, then you take a boat to another continent. And I've done a few missions there, and the things that do pop out, you can avoid them pretty easily, like you said. Or even if you don't, they're not going to actually kill you.
Yeah.
They might, and if you're really dumb about it, like, push you off a ledge, and that'll kill you, which is annoying. But that is exceedingly rare, actually. I most of the time, I find the game pretty fair.
Yeah.
Which I actually really didn't feel with the Souls games, although I never really gave them a chance.
I think a great situation. I wish we were recording it, but there were so many times when Colin and I were playing the other day, and it would be like we were running into a situation or like exploring a new situation in that second big level, and it was just like, oh shit, oh shit, oh shit, oh shit, oh shit, and we like ran away from the thing. We're able to reevaluate the situation and then get back into it. Like there were so many fun moments of like, oh surprise, now get away, instead of just surprise, we're dead, reset, reload, go through the whole thing.
I feel like it's so weird, because as you guys described this, I'm like, this is my experience with Souls games. Like, you can run away, but I don't know. I mean,
maybe the difficulty curve is definitely...
maybe it's just a touch more forgiving, maybe a little bit less pattern recognition, more improvisation, you know, stuff like that. I'm excited, though. I'm excited to give it a shot and see how it differs kind of in my own experience, because I think... I guess it's fair to say that I'm probably the one who... push the most into that, but Griffin, you played quite a bit as well, so I don't know.
No, you're absolutely right, Jeff. Like, I think you have the most experience in the Souls series and expertise with it by no means, like, is far superior to mine. And I think that's kind of why, like, that's why I know that I like Neo, because it is a little bit more on the, like, the lighter side, the more diluted Souls experience.
It's funny that you guys are saying this, because I'm listening to podcasts and everything, the conversation seems to be that this game is actually harder, like, and more challenging.
It may become harder down the line. Maybe that's or maybe it just depends on your skill set.
No, here's the answer to that, and that is, in the Dark Souls games, if you can overlevel portions, like you can grind and grind and grind, or find some exploit in order to cheese a boss or to get an overpowered weapon that will let you do additional damage. Neo does not afford that degree of cheese. You have to learn the combat of the game. That the difficulty curve is a lot on you understanding the mechanics of it, and less on you know leveling up, getting better equipment,
putting pine resin on your sword and freaking cheesing the first boss in three hits.
Right, shooting the dragon's tail to get the super weapon that will allow you to go through the game faster. Like, it's not there. It demands a better play versus more time committed.
I think that what I like about it, the mechanics of it, is I've started switching stances, not because I necessarily needed to, but because I got to a point like in the like leveling up where I was just putting skill points into combos in other stances just because I have nothing else to spend the skill points on, and I'm like, all right, I guess I'll switch stances now so I can use this sick combo in this other stance.
So you're not constantly switching stances?
No, I made it through the first continent without switching a stance. One's just low stance. Just okay, rolling around.
Amazing. All right.
I'm excited.
Yeah, plus I think like the like super duper god mode thing that you can do is the best addition to that kind of a game, where it's like, if you hit the wall and you're really frustrated, you can at least, you know, take a good chunk of an opponent's health down, or you know, kind of brute force your way through a situation that, you know, you're getting really frustrated with, or at least like turn the tide into your favor, and then kind of combat after that. So that is a huge boon to players who are not like 100% dedicated to mastering every enemy's moveset.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
And they really don't have that many moves, and there aren't that many enemies. It's not like you see one of the yokai for the first time and you get really scared. Like, I recently encountered for the first time these big flaming wheels, and they're really intimidating looking, and when you first see them, you're like, oh my god, and they spin up and they charge at you, and it's terrifying. And you might die to like two of them at once if they're gang up on you, but that rarely happens in this game, and they're actually really not that bad, and they only have like two moves they do that can actually kill you, so it's not that bad. I feel like the real challenge in this game is the bosses, and I think that they're really hard, and they do demand that you... Each one kind of demands a different thing. Like, that first boss, yeah, you need to block it. That second one, you need to be really comfortable with her getting in your face all the time.
And I would say that the way that we beat that boss was just by a simple war of attrition, where it's understanding the movesets and then being patient, taking your hits in when you can get them, and then running away and dodging. That's what we were successful with.
Yeah, patience is really part of it. It's... And it's tough because you want to get in there and like complete a combo, but it's not always possible. Maybe it's better to switch into high stance and get like one hit in and then roll out.
Yeah.
I'm excited to dig into this. It every time you guys talk about it, I can't help but just make it into a Souls game in my mind, but I want to feel how it differs myself. And I'm just excited that like a dark horse like this is getting so much positive buzz and like this new IP.
And you can't find it anywhere.
You can't find it anywhere.
And you can't have it.
And well, you're like, Irish.
I think I'm going to purchase this copy just to spite you, Jeff, from the service that shall not be named.
I mean, I'm fine. You know, I have other shit that I need to catch up on anyway, which I've been playing. But, it's just cool to hear that you guys are liking... I mean, it's bringing both of you together, and Jamie, who doesn't ordinarily like Souls games, is drawn to this. So I'm excited to see what it feels like. The little bit of demo that I played seemed fun, but just confusing. But I'm just excited to dive in. So.
I think the core difference, and we discussed this last week, is simply that when I die and I lose all my Amrita, I don't feel... so angry that I want to like throw the controller across the room. Whereas in Souls, I do feel.
No, go ahead. Sorry, finish your thought. I apologize.
No, that's it.
I was going to say that the reason why you don't feel like that is because the game is not level dependent. Like, you don't have to put a million points into strength and make an optimal build to be extremely successful. You can fumble your way through your stat alignments and everything and do just fine through the game.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited. Hey, Griff.
Hi.
You played another game involving patient sword battles. I'm curious about it.
Oh, really?
I am curious about it. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's a great segue, Jeff. I played For Honor, and I finished the single player campaign.
There was one of those.
Three major chapters, and then I went on and played some online, and it's one of those things where I'm really confused because I do really well online, which makes me think I'm doing something wrong.
It might just be early days. Like, remember when we were good at Splatoon? Remember when that happened? Like, when we were, like, actually legitimately quite good?
I think I was probably riding your coattails on that one a little bit more so than ever, but...
Maybe.
In this one, since I definitely know I'm alone, and there's so much like alone combat in it, I feel like I was doing a great job with just me kind of doing my thing. So For Honor, what do you want to know?
How long is the campaign?
Yeah, that's one good question.
The campaign. If you were to brute force it, you could probably get through it in 8 hours, if not, you know, five. If you're not looking for any collectibles and just like mainlining and pushing forward through everything, but it definitely is not devoid of challenge. It'll throw a very intelligent AI enemy at you at the end of like a couple of the later chapters, and they definitely escalate to challenge you. And the single player campaign is very much so a tutorial in how to play almost all of the major character archetypes and how to understand a lot of the systems in the game.
Is there a story?
There is a story, and it's actually pretty damn good.
There's a lady, and she's bad.
Yes.
Really?
That's it. You're right.
Does the guy with the cane show up at all?
He may narrate certain portions.
Amazing.
Can you play it with a guitar controller?
You can't play it with the keyboard, but you can play it with the guitar controller.
Okay, good. Can I play it with a microphone?
Up, yeah, you have to
left.
So, you raise a very smart point there, Jamie. This is yet another game very focused on stances, and you know, for those who don't know, I don't want to spend a lot of time on this, but it's stance driven. So you're kind of engaging in one-on-one combat, and based on where your stance is, so that would be like left, right, high. That will essentially afford you the ability to counterattack through either a passive or active method of deflecting blows, or then, you know, if you are in the left stance, you won't be able to attack somebody who's also in the left stance. You'll need to kind of play this like little rock, paper, scissors game with them until you find an opening.
Mm-hmm. Sounds cool so far.
It's really cool, and I think the thing that really spoke to me with this whole game was the diversity of characters that you get to play as. They have, you know, you're playing through the single player campaign, and you're doing all the kind of regular stuff where you're playing as the main kind of champions or whatever. And then every once in a while, they're like, okay, play as this weird one. And I totally fell in love with this one character, like, midway through the game, where I'm like, oh, this one just 100% speaks to me on all levels. And I took that into the multiplayer situations.
Was he heavily flatulent?
Yeah, that's his secret move. Okay. It's like the bear. It's like the bear from Tekken. I just fart in people's faces. I did actually try and go out of my way to do some online multiplayer stuff, where I think that's where the game kind of really shines. Mm-hmm. You know, there's different mission types where it's like, oh, domination or dominion, where you're running from area to area and, like, capturing points. And there's, like, really interesting mechanics about it, where if you're cutting down just generic dudes, like Dynasty Warrior style, you get a little bit of points here and there. If you control a point, then you get, like, essentially a temporary buff to your point levels. And then every hero you kill, you get additional points on top of that. And once you get to a certain threshold that the opposing side needs to rally, and they don't have the ability to respawn, but if they start, like, they can sway the battle in a different direction, where if they run to a control point, they can take that control point, and then it'll drop your score down and increase their score, changing that threshold, so then they can be, like, back into the respawn and kind of be viable in a match again. So there's a lot of give and take in battles, where mm-hmm. I was playing one the other day, and it was like, we're up, like, 1,200, and the other group was like 500, so they're like, oh, in the bag, no problem. And then these guys just kind of, like, went, you know, very smart tactically and pulled a couple areas and got back into a viable state, and we kind of had to, like, scuffle really hard until, you know, the end result was like 1,400 to 800 or something like that.
Did someone slide down a ladder onto your head and sit on your head, and then you fell off the ladder and you died, and that's how you lost? Because I know that can happen.
That definitely can happen, but it didn't happen to me. Like, I didn't play this game like a chump. I played this game smart, like a smart guy.
Whoa. All right.
And when I was playing I'm sorry, I keep interrupting you, Jeff. Just one more question.
That's okay.
When I was playing the beta, the metagame stuff was very confusing to me. Is it better explained when you have the full release? Do you feel like you understand what's going on with all the various points and whatnot they're doling out, and how that affects the broader gameplay and the seasons and everything?
Are you asking, like, seasons? The multiplayer side of things?
Yeah. Like, on the multiplayer side, you know how if you win a match, you earn, like, metagame points that you can invest in parts of the map, and I just had no idea.
No. Well, maybe it did. I just buttoned through it really quick because I was like, don't care, just gotcha. Want to get into a fight.
Griff's way of doing things is amazing. Yeah. I love your don't cares.
Well, I that side of things where it's like, what is this game going to be like in 6 months? I'm not entirely concerned about that. I was like, I want to play this game right now online against real human beings and see if I actually learn something through this campaign, or if I, like, if it is that challenging, because how many other people are saying, like, playing against another human is nigh impossible. And I was actually very proud of myself. Like, maybe it's like the fighting game background of just, like, having patience and reacting and playing, like, a smart combat game, that I was able to, like, have that really, like, good patience and success that came from that in real combat with real people. Or maybe I just got really lucky and played a bunch of chumps. Who knows? But I wasn't really concerned in like, what do these points mean in 3 months when the season's over, and how will my faction do?
How large are the battles? How many human opponents?
Four for Dominion.
Okay.
You can do one-on-one and all sorts of stuff.
Yes, you can do a bunch of different match types where it's like, you're just, there's no other kind of, like, dudes in the realm. It's just kind of like fightsy fights. But I think the Dominion's really fun because then usually people are just, like, hacking away in the middle of a group, and you can run up on them and, like, surprise them it feels like a Dynasty Warriors game that was never actually realized, but now it finally was.
Griff, you're playing on a normal PS4. When I played it, the beta on my...
Please, it's called a peasant PS4.
When I played the beta on the Pro, I was, like, actually floored. Like, it looks gorgeous. Not only is, like, you know, obviously graphically it looks wonderful, but the motion capture looked fabulous. Like, the rolling. I literally was just rolling left and rolling right again just to watch the dude roll. Did you have a similar reaction to the way
it
looks?
Totally. Like, yeah. I felt really... I was just... Like, the opening intro, which is, like... Or sorry, not intro, but, like, the first kind of level you do in the story campaign, there's a cutscene, but it's in-engine and everything, and I was like, wow, this is cool. Like, this is current-gen doing a good job with what it's doing.
That's
so,
exactly
yeah,
what I thought. I thought this is, like, one of the first real Gen 8 games that I've seen. I can't believe wow. that it looks like this.
Yeah, and I don't typically notice that stuff, but in this case, it Jamie, it's a great call out there. I agree. Like, I noticed it. I thought it was cool. It impressed me a lot, and especially in a game that is so animation intense and important. You know, if you play a Street Fighter game, you know, you're working on a 2D plane with obvious things, like obvious tells based on animation, because this character can only do these many things. But, you know, you're working on a 3D plane with a human that is manipulating this 3D plane with multiple tells and feints and cheeses and all these weird, like, techniques that you can do to manipulate the combat. And it just works so well.
Yeah.
Griff, let me ask you a question. Is this a game that you... first of all, want to keep and could see yourself playing long term, and should we all play it together? Or is it just a passing fad for you?
If games stopped at this point and there was no more games, I would definitely be interested in playing more For Honor because I think it's super cool and super fun. But, you know, just because of how amazing the rest of this like 3 months are going to be, I can't really see myself sticking with it too much. I'll give it another shot online to just make sure that what I did wasn't like two flukes in a row. but playing together, I don't know. I mean,
is that even a thing?
There has to be a way that we can group up. I would hope I didn't explore that. I apologize for not really knowing if that works. But I also don't know if you guys can hang with me.
Challenge accepted.
I'll hang on a ladder with you while you slide down and cause me to fall and die.
Well, I'm going to be coming at you with the Fart Express down that ladder.
Well, then them's fighting words, my man. Them's fighting words.
I think one of the really cool things about the game is kind of in the same vein as Neo is, you know, there's so much importance on kind of knowing how to manipulate the combat. And, you know, as you're playing through the campaign, you're not really getting boosts mm-hmm. and stat abilities and increases and making yourself better in terms of, like, raw numbers. It's just...
learning.
Like I said, it's like a fighting game. You have to learn how to be better at it as time goes on.
Can I just say that go ahead, Jamie, sorry.
I was just going to say really quickly that when I was playing the beta, it really struck me, this really doesn't feel anything like anything else I've played. I struggle even now to think of something to compare it to besides, like, a Bushido Blade. And it's not something that you have, you know, it's not something that gamers have, like, a collective memory of how to do well. So,
right.
It will be interesting to see, like, how, you know, the pro scene grows with this game and if people end up doing really crazy stuff with it, because there's just no precedent. It's not like it's not like Neo and Souls games. Like, everyone already knows how to do this, except me, because I never played a Souls game.
I can I just say that I'm really excited that Ubisoft is, like, branching out from just pure open-world development. Like Rainbow Six Siege, which now apparently has like a 10 million player base. It actually is one of the few games that grew after launch significantly.
Is that EA or is that Ubi?
That's Ubi. Hmm. And For Honor, I think it's really cool to see them exploring games that have, like, really deep systems, like, that have some complexity and depth to them, because that is not what I usually think of when I think of Ubisoft. I think of loaded open world games with, like, kind of cursory mechanics. So it's really cool to see them kind of strutting their stuff as developers who actually know how to make, like, a real gamey, systems-y game. I mean, that's really cool.
It is cool.
For what it's worth. it gives me a lot of optimism about them as a publisher.
Yeah.
You know, so I think that's neat.
Yeah. I would love to keep talking about For Honor because I think it's super cool. And again, it demands a lot from people, and I would really suggest you guys check it out because I would love to hear your perspectives on, yeah, on it. But I think that's probably enough on that one. What are you playing, Jamie? What is Pit People?
Pit People is by the Behemoth, the Castle Crashers.
Oh, is it Project 4 or whatever?
Yes, it's their fourth game. Yeah. I never heard of it referred to as Project 4. I just saw them play it on UPF on Giant Bomb, and I was like, this looks fantastic. So I grabbed it. It's a strategy game, a turn-based strategy game, played out on hex boards with a kind of Adult Swim Adventure Time animation style and narration style. And it's very much entrenched in that type of humor, which actually kind of rubs me the wrong way, but it's written well enough that
is that guy with the voice doing all of it? You know, the guy
Carl,
he does all the other ones.
That was a very good description you gave of this
name.
Man. You know, the guy,
he's very sarcastic. He kind of reminds me of the You Don't Know Jack guy.
Yeah, he's very sarcastic.
Is there like a million non sequiturs and you don't really know
blah,
what's
blah,
happening?
Blah, 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 blah.
Pretty
blah,
much.
Blah.
Pretty much.
That guy, yeah.
And like, death is very trivial.
Is Tom
in the
from
game.
Toonami on it?
Probably. Probably. It actually is a really cool game. It has some unique mechanics that I've never seen before. It's a turn-based strategy game played on hexes, but you only move your character. You do not choose to attack or not attack, and your character will automatically attack any character who they're next to.
Oh, I did watch this.
Yeah. They'll automatically attack any character they're next to, any hex they're next to. If they're next to multiple characters, if they're abutting multiple characters, you cannot choose which character they attack unless there's a special ability involved. So it becomes this really interesting puzzle game of, oh, I can't put him here because then I don't know if he will attack the guy who I actually want to be attacked on this turn. And the game really necessitates that you beat up on individual bad guys at once to get through these missions, which can be pretty challenging. So it becomes this really interesting, like, strategy puzzle game. I've really never played anything before like it. It's extremely fast-paced. You get through battles quickly, but the battles seem, you know, they seem like a good, like, scale. Like, they seem meaty, and I've only played about an hour, but I'm really enjoying it, warts and all, in regards to the story and narration, which I can take or leave.
Jamie, is it a game that is in like full production right now, or is this like a early release kind of a thing?
This is Steam Early Access, $15. It's extremely polished. There's like a
Early Access.
Or what do they call it?
Oh no, Rip Greenlight. Sorry, not Early Access.
Greenlight's dead.
Yeah, Greenlight's dying.
Yes. There's a very like apologetic.
Long live Greenlight.
Hmm.
Nothing. Sorry.
There's a very apologetic splash screen at the beginning of the game that's like, look, you're in dangerous territory. This game could explode at any minute. Just be careful out there. It's one of the most polished, like, indie-type games I've played on PC. The story seems extremely fleshed out, and, it feels like a finished product.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jamie, is it a good enough strategy game for me to enjoy or no?
It's unique enough that I think that you or Griff could enjoy it, and I think that $15 is a good price for it.
Does it feel like it's something that will eventually be ported to an iPad or iPhone? Because from what I watched, that's kind of the vibe that I got.
Yeah, very possibly. I don't know. Something about playing it on
so it's not pure.
Something about mouse and keyboard made it really easy and kind of fluid. So I think it would be a kind of a pain to play it on those devices. But I'm sure they will put it on.
I was going to say, have you seen the shit they port to iPad? Because BioShock. That is all.
Oh, man.
Hey, speaking of mobile games, guys, apparently that's all I play now.
so sad.
No, it's not all I play, but
how the mighty have fallen.
I'm going to talk about the mobile games that I have played, and then I'll talk about the other thing I played. Just a small Fire Emblem update. Somehow I am a golden god and continue to get 5-star dudes.
Lies.
Now I have whale.
I'm not a whale. I swear.
You're such a whale.
The only whales that I'm encountering are in another game I played.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, indeed. So I now have 5 5-star people because I'm a monster, and that game is. I think it's over, but I'm still playing it for some reason.
Still barely a game.
I actually did get the Fire Emblem itch the other day. I saw
like the real Fire Emblem.
The
itch?
Real Fire Emblem. Yes, I was fighting like the Hinoka character, the princess, the Pegasus princess from Birthright.
Yeah,
and I was like, oh man, I want to play that game some more. For some reason, I was like, I want to get into that.
Yeah.
How did that work? Did it go to the same route that it did for me, where I turned it on and was like, nope, goodbye.
You know what it was? I thought about the My Castle thing, and I was like, oh, fuck that. yeah, so I'm still playing that, and just getting my daily bonuses, and I don't even know why. There's no reason to, but there it is. A game, though, that I actually am quite enjoying for mobile, which I'd probably recommend to both you guys, is it's called Dandy Dungeon, and it is by the guy who made... Let me see if I can get this right, because I don't remember offhand. It's by a company called Onion Games, and this guy made... Not Joaniki, but something like that.
God, that'd be awesome.
I'm going to find out right now.
That's fine.
But so the premise of the game essentially, oh, it's by the maker of Tulip.
Mean Tulip?
Horse racing?
Yes. Anyway, so the way the game works is you play a salaryman who has no life and wants to make a video game, and he codes in his underwear, and you like follow him as he creates like an RPG basically. But the actual minute-to-minute gameplay is you're going through 5x5 dungeons by drawing a path, and your goal is to draw a path that covers every tile in the dungeon, but there are, of course, like, walls and stuff, so you have to draw around that, and sometimes you have to plan around, like, enemy placement and stuff to plan your path so you don't get killed on the way to an enemy. There's different items and stuff. There's all kinds of cool systems going on in it. And it is a free-to-play game, but as far as I haven't had to make any purchases yet, because it's very forgiving. But as far as I can tell, there is a purchase in the game which you can buy, which just turns it into a normal game for like $8.50. It's called a duck. Apparently, if you buy the duck, it just becomes a normal game. But it's really cute. It's like stupid and dumb and quirky.
Hmm. How much is it like Hidden My Game by Mom?
I don't know what that is.
Oh, you didn't play that one?
No.
Oh, I omitted it from previous times that I've played games, but yeah. If you haven't checked out Hidden My Game by Mom, just plant that seed.
Hidden My Game?
One more time?
Hidden My Game by Mom.
Okay.
I'm going to Google this right now.
So Jeff, I actually got this on your recommendation, and I played a bunch of it. I think it's super charming. I really like the gameplay. It didn't explain what I should do very clearly. I was very wrapped up in the story. I didn't realize that you had to click to actually get into the dungeon.
Oh yeah, you have to click his bed.
Yeah,
and he codes in his underwear all excitedly.
And I really like the gameplay. I like how you don't have to cover all the tiles to get to the end point, and if you don't,
no, you just get a bonus.
You get the empty tiles turn into things that hurt you at the end.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah. And so if you don't have enough HP, that you'll actually die trying to escape that way. But I think it's really, really fast and fun. And yeah, I haven't had to spend any money on it either.
Yeah, and it has a cute little story where like you work for a social gaming company and you hate it. So there's a little bit of meta commentary on smartphone games and just cute little subplots. Like the character thinks that if he makes a game where you rescue the princess and the princess is his neighbor, then his 18-year-old neighbor will fall in love with him. And it's really weird. But there's no... It's, like, played completely innocently. Like, he's like, yeah, of course that'll happen.
Is this a Japanese game where the 18-year-old neighbor is actually a 16-year-old neighbor?
Probably. He also has, like, his salaryman buddy who, like, randomly comes in. He'll be like, hey, what is love? And then he'll leave.
Baby, don't hurt me.
No, he's just like, what is this thing called love? And then he's like, okay, I'm done now. Bye.
Was it Reggie or Arnold Schwarzenegger or somebody? Is this like a Mitomo sideload?
No, it's like a junior salaryman named Yasu. And they all have really cute, like, little Animal Crossing-ese voices. They're like, it's really cute. And it just has some nice little quirks to it. Like, if you don't play the game for a long time, your room fills up with garbage, and you clean the garbage and get rewards for it. And then he says, dearly departed garbage, rest in peace, and does a little praying motion. It's just adorable.
It's that kind of attention to detail and things like that that you don't get in Western releases as much, and it's really, really endearing.
This is, I mean, to be fair, there are a lot of
Dandy Eastern Dungeon Legend terrible. Of Brave Yamada.
Yep.
Okay, I am downloading it and installing it right now.
Yeah, it's also got really cute music. The title theme has a cute little track sung in English. And it's
is it better or worse than Fire
It's
better. It's better.
It's definitely better.
How did you hear about this game?
I think I saw it promoted on Video Game Advisor, which is a Twitter I follow, which basically takes screens from video games and turns them into life advice.
Gotcha.
And they asked what it was, and I was like, oh, that looks really cute. And I checked it out, and it's a lot of fun. By the way, each and every dungeon, you start from level one, so it's like you build your hero up from
you go through
multiple floors. Yeah, so it's got some roguelike-ish elements to it. But there is persistency. Like, you can acquire gear in those dungeons, which you can equip and upgrade, and you can start on a better level by getting better gear.
Is there a masturbation mod for it?
There's no masturbation mod for it, sadly. That is another game.
Deleting it from my phone.
I really enjoyed it. I sent you guys a picture, because you can click on enemies to find out what they do. And so your character creates a dungeon based off of a boss who he really hates. So the last boss of that dungeon is the chairman of Empire Games, which is the company he works for. Nice. And the description for him says, chairman of Empire Games, also an ice sorcerer, which I really enjoyed.
That's great.
But yeah, it's really cute, and I've really enjoyed spending time with it. It's got a lot of charm. It doesn't feel scummy or anything like that. And I'm glad you enjoyed it, Jamie.
Yeah. Cool.
But back to the land of real games.
Yeah.
The real men.
The ones that are played on PC.
Yes, the ones that are played on PC. I've been playing more Dishonored. And getting farther, and I'm super methodical when I play those games, so I'm still in the first, like, I beat the Escape from Dunwall mission, but now I'm in the first, like, real mission, and that is a big, big level. Like, I think it's bigger than the levels
all
in...
of Skyrim.
I think it's far bigger than the levels in the original Dishonored. Would you agree with that, Jamie?
Yes.
I would. I played it too, and
it's denser.
Yeah. It definitely does seem like it is.
Yeah, it's got really great density of stuff. So, like, something that's really cool about it is, like, I was going through the level and there's a part where you go through, like, an area that has these killer mosquitoes in it, basically. Yeah. And I don't know if you guys found this, but when you are going through that level, you see, like, an area. You're like, oh, I can't get to that place. How do I get there? And so I backtracked. And there was, like, a small little alcove above a bookcase that you could jump up onto, and you'd go in there and you find a key to the store, the black market.
Is this like the apartments kind of area, right when you
get in
there?
Yep.
Yeah, I did that.
Okay, I thought it was really cool. I was really impressed by that level design, and that I found that super neat. What I don't love about the game is the weird glitchy AI shit that happens. Did you guys have this experience?
No.
Whatever you say, yes.
So, for some reason, when I started the level, I was just walking through the level, and then somebody just yelled out, "Murder!" Don't kill me! And then
I definitely didn't have that.
And I don't know why.
Did
I
you have your weapon out?
No, and I It was, no, it was not unsheathed. I made sure of it. Also, apparently having your weapon out does nothing.
Huh.
Unless you're trying to kill people. So yeah, he yelled murder, and then he was hiding. I went and found him, and I was like, what is going on here? And then it happened again later. I was, like, going through a level, and I got into the room where the bone charm is, or the rune is, that takes you over to the outsider for, like, the second time. Mm-hmm. And he's like, what you do to Karnaka is up to you. And I'm like, all right, whatever. But I went in there, and I took out the overseers in there, and I hid their bodies, and then suddenly I was just, like, going to get the runes, and then I just hear this woman, and she's like, that man looks ill! And then she's like, oh, God! And then I'm, like, looking everywhere. I'm like, where is this woman? I can't find her anywhere.
Well, that means that she found a body.
No. But I'm looking everywhere that I've stashed bodies, and I'm like, I can't find this woman anywhere. And then I go outside, and there's a woman leaning against the wall who just occasionally is like, that man looks ill!
But Jeff, that's how it's so realistic. Like, that's like real life. Sometimes there's just a lady leaning over the railing yelling at the guards that person is ill.
So I sleep darted her just to get her to shut up. But I was like, what is the point of this?
That's great.
I also don't love how in the first level you go into the water to get the bone charm, and then there's the fish that are murdering you. I found that really annoying.
Yeah, that's terrible.
Yeah. Sounds like No Man's Sky.
A little bit, yeah. The thing that I think bothered me the most, though, was the fact that right before we started podcasting, I was playing the game and noticing performance dips, and I was like, oh, I thought they patched these. And so I went to adjust the anti-aliasing, thinking that would improve performance, and it was still really bad. And then suddenly the game just went black, and I was like, oh, God.
What were you looking at?
Some blood flies?
Yeah, exactly. So you need to turn... This is a very well done... Yeah, you need to turn blood fly shadows off.
That's amazing.
Yeah. If you do not, your game will just keep crashing. I have a 1080 and an i7. It brings my system to its knees. NASA wants me to use my system so they can look at space better. But I can't look at a GD boat fly.
No, Blood Fly is a different game. What game is Blood Fly from?
I don't know.
Man, I don't remember. But yeah, no, why is it I looked at it and it said the Blood Fly shadow was light impact. So I was like, oh, okay.
No, it's not. They're lying. It's super heavy impact.
That is so funny.
Yeah.
I wanted to turn off the rat shadows too, because that just seems superfluous.
That won't do anything. But the Blood Fly shadows, for some reason...
This is fucking amazing.
Yeah.
Also, I don't love the blood flies as a mechanic. Are they in the game for the whole thing?
There are blood fly segments peppered throughout all the levels. That said, you won't really have to deal with them too much. There's one level where you go back in time, and when you're in the current time, you're kind of avoiding blood fly nests. Mm-hmm. So in that level, I would say it plays a larger role. But as a whole, throughout the game, no, not too much. Yeah.
All right. Are they carrying the blood fly plague?
Some people are.
No, I know. It's just funny that they did another plague, sort of.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. And the story is I don't give a shit about it.
And it gets better.
I'm a little let down by every character I meet. Like I met Megan, the boat lady. And I was like, oh, that's cool. She only has one eye and one arm. But for some reason, her hair is white people hair.
Yeah. The world building far exceeds the characters in the story.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree with that. I think the world is really cool.
If they put half the amount of attention into each character that they put into the design of the freaking typewriters throughout the whole game, then the game would have been amazing.
Do you guys spin every globe? That's what I want to know.
Yes. That's why I didn't get very far.
No, but it's fun, though. I mean, the stealth is still on point. Weird glitches aside, I've definitely had some very odd moments. Like, when I went into the black market, one of my favorite things. So, I would just be stealthing in the black market, like, stealing shit from the guy. And then I would slowly approach him.
From the man.
From the man.
Yeah.
And I'm slowly approaching him. And then once I passed a certain threshold, or like if I shimmied the wrong way, even though clearly there's no way he could see me, he would just bolt out of the store immediately. It was so good. He's just like, don't kill me!
Well, if you make a noise, they'll do that.
No, but I wasn't making a noise. It was just like, you moved left the wrong time.
This is very surprising to me, because one of the things that I enjoyed most about the game was I thought the AI was actually excellent, especially in the later levels. I loved how they don't do linear preset paths.
Yeah, that is a nice thing, actually.
If you leave a door open, they will, like, not only...
They're like, why is this door open?
And they'll come out and they'll investigate. And I thought that was really cool. It really keeps you on your toes.
I think it feels a little... It doesn't feel quite as tight to me as Dishonored did, which is weird.
Don't take this the wrong way, but this conversation you guys are having reminds me a lot of the same thing that Jamie and I just talked about with Neo, where it's like, yeah, this is... You just do this. This is what you do. It's pretty easy, and you're like, no. This is super screwed up and really obfuscated and difficult.
I don't know. I think it's I'm a little bit let down by some of the limitations of the engine, and some of the quirks that it seems to bring with it, and the game just feeling a little buggy and janky in ways that I don't love. Still real fun though. The arc of Emily's blink ability is also throwing me for a loop, but I'm getting used to it.
Yeah.
So it's cool. And I'm excited to keep going. I mean, I love me a good stealth game, so.
Then you should play Shadow Tactics.
You almost did once.
Play it on your like what is it called? The Surface Pro. There you go. Play it on that.
I don't think it could run. I think it recommended specs are like a 560 or greater. Yeah, or something like that. I did remote play it, but I was disappointed in performance.
Oh, okay.
Although I have been remote playing XCOM, which I actually didn't list here. So I played more Long War, and that game got too complicated even for me.
That's... Wow.
I realized that I was like doing the strategy layer wrong because they didn't explain it at all. I was like, oh, okay, I guess I don't give a shit about this anymore. And I'm in a situation where I might be able to dig my way out, but I don't know if I want to. I don't know if I want to do, like, 100 missions. That's a lot of missions.
Yeah, no, that sounds like way too much.
Yeah, I think I might have had my fill.
You've got Gachapon to buy.
I had my thrilling moments, and I think I'm ready to actually play other shit, so...
If you had more 5-star heroes, do you think you'd be more successful?
In XCOM?
Yeah.
Probably, yeah. I've been saving up Hero Feathers, man, in Fire Emblem. Because I have a Robin. He's just not level 5.
Give it time. You'll pull him.
Throw your phone out.
No. I don't need to pull him, man. I just got to get them feathers.
You can give them more stars with feathers?
Yeah.
Like 40,000 feathers.
20,000. I'm already at 15.
Yeah, that's it.
And I'm going to get another 2,500 from the arena. L2P, brah.
We've lost him, Griff.
He's gone. He's gone full casual, hasn't he?
Yep.
I just happen to have, like, one of the best team comps.
Do you hear that, Jamie? Do you hear that? Do you hear that?
Yeah, I do. What is it?
It sounds like this.
Is that a...
Is that a whale? Is that what that is?
Is this Star Trek IV?
I remember the moment when the guy called me a murderer. It's when I pulled the bone charm out of the whale's mouth. He's like, you murder!
I just want to say that...
You killed that whale!
whale noises have really cool waveforms.
Yeah.
I'll bet they do.
Yeah.
Can I tell you another crowning moment in Dishonored real quick?
Sure.
It's when I took a piece of copper wire that was sitting out. And then the guy who was manning that station went back to his copper wire land, and then he saw that it was gone, and then he ran away in abject terror. He was like, no! How could you do this to me? Don't kill me!
That's amazing.
Oh, so many weird moments in that game. Good, though. Yeah, but that's what I've been checking out. So.
Well, it's a shame that you don't understand it for pure beauty, much like Dragon Knight's Origins.
Yep.
Did you just call it Dragon Knight's Origins?
Dragon Age?
Dragon Knight's Origins is a new mobile game that I've been trying out, guys. It's free to play. They give you heroes in the beginning, and wouldn't you know it, three of mine were five-star rarity.
It's attached to your King account.
It's actually a dating sim where you play as Corypheus.
Oh, goodness.
All right, so guys. Let's talk about some stuff that's happening.
Yeah, we got a big old list here. Cause,
which
cause
is Jamie... essentially Switch-based. So yep. Who wants to talk about the Switch?
Me. I just got an email from Amazon saying that my Pro Controller will be here on March 7th.
I got the very same email.
Jamie, this is one thing that I don't remember if I asked or if we covered last time, but with the PS4 Pro that you now own,
mm-hmm.
how is there any controller differences?
I did talk about this.
Yeah, he covered this last time.
I'm sorry. Then never mind. Never mind. I can just go listen to the last episode that's on iTunes.
Whoa!
There is a small little sliver of light that peeks through. And
absolutely no difference.
Okay. Enough said. Sorry for that divergent.
Hey, I want to ask a Switch question, Jamie. How do you feel about those tiny-ass game sizes?
How do I feel about them?
Yeah. You listed them on the document.
Good?
Yeah, me too.
I feel like if they're going to like shoot for 720p, you know, there's no reason to have an 80 gig game on that type of system. So
how big was Mario Kart 8 is 7 gigs, okay.
Yeah.
That seems small, surprisingly. Like
yeah. It's the size of a DVD, right?
DVD, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean the Wii U used Blu-rays. Well, modified Blu-rays.
Blu-rays.
Well, how much does a Blu-ray contain?
A standard Blu-ray is either 25 or 50 gigs, depending.
50 for a dual layer, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
And an HD Blu-ray is more, but I don't know how much more. I think it's more, at least. I think that it's nice that the average game on this thing will be pretty small. MK8, 7 gigs, around about, and Breath of the Wild's 13-ish. Neither of those really exceeds the internal storage. But then there's this Dragon Quest 1 and 2 package that's coming out that is like 33 gigs. So
only in Japan, though.
Oh, okay, gotcha. Well, it necessitates you buying an SD card. And as we've spoken about before, they're like so reasonably priced that it's not really a big deal. But, you know, they could have put 128 in this thing. And they probably should have. Because at the end of the day, they're shooting themselves in the foot because people are going to run into this limitation fairly early and not going to buy stuff because they ran out of space.
I think it'll be manageable with cartridges, though. I think that'll be... I mean, I don't know. I managed to not ever get an external hard drive from my Wii U, and I am...
Same
I am a, I'm a relatively devoted Nintendo fan.
Yeah.
He's a downloader.
No, I'm not a downloader, but I am a relatively devoted Nintendo fan. What was I going to say, though, about that? The thing that I really was surprised about, did you read that piece about how Capcom apparently asked Nintendo to increase the RAM?
No, I didn't.
So apparently Nintendo was not going to go with 4 gigs of RAM to begin with. They were going to go lower.
Oh,
and Capcom was like, could you please bring that up?
Hey, Monster Hunter 7, the greatest generation, is going to be 14. It's going to require 14 gigs of RAM. Can you meet us halfway?
By Nintendo math, half of 14 is 4. No, I just was surprised by that. I mean, it's just funny to me how much they continually seem to want to skimp on those kind of specs. Like RAM is one of those things where if you're willing to shell out a little more for a bigger module, then you can get more. It's like it doesn't really take up a lot of space. It's just, do you want to pay the money?
For me, little things like that show how they're just in their own world. Like, everyone critiques Nintendo because all this progress is being made in like, other games and in other areas in the gaming universe, and they don't seem preoccupied with that, and they don't seem to care about emulating the successes of others. And people are always like, why don't they just do this? They could just copy this game. And it's because they don't play any other games. They just sit in their hibernation cubes.
There was a great interview with AG or whatever his name is, AG Aonuma, where he was talking about the games that he played as he was making Breath of the Wild, and he's like, I didn't play Grand Theft Auto 5 because it was just too violent for me. And I was like, you're adorable.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it is hilarious how insular they are. I feel like when that conversation was had, they're like, but wait, Mario only needs 2 gigabytes to run. I don't understand.
Yeah, everything can just be like Mario. Speaking of how secretive they are, so a Switch was apparently, you know, sold to some YouTuber who took a video of the UI, and this prompted Nintendo to contact this person and do an investigation, and it turns out that this guy received what was probably an illegally sold Switch unit.
It was illegally obtained, right? Wasn't mm-hmm. it stolen?
Yeah, exactly. That's what I meant to yeah. say.
I mean, he bought a stolen unit not knowing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they asked for it back, and they started this whole investigation, which, like, embroiled several employees at a, you know, quote, you know, U.S. partner retailer. And it's just astounding to me because the UI looks great. You should want to show it off. You should have had a Nintendo Direct about it by now, but you don't.
They won't be having one. There's no way they're having one before March 3rd. I don't believe it.
And this crazy dude tries to just show us the UI, and you freak out. It's like...
Well, to be fair, they didn't tell him to take his videos down, because if you saw, he said, I'm taking down my videos. You know, I don't want them to give me any more trouble. But they didn't say they told him to do it.
Mm. Yeah, he's not like these videos are anti-Semitic or anything.
It's not like he, you know, condones pedophilia or anything. That'd be crazy. No one would do that.
It's not like the Wall Street Journal told him that he was evil.
Yeah.
Wait, Griffin was going towards PewDiePie, which I didn't immediately pick up on, and I was just going towards current events.
And then I went back towards PewDiePie.
Yeah, probably wise. Probably wise to keep it in the realm of PewDiePie.
Yeah.
Guys, did you watch his apology video?
No, I can't. No. I just unsubscribed to his channel.
It's not the best.
You were subscribed there beforehand?
I was.
Okay.
He had a good humorous turn, but he needs to... You can't be in Sweden and make anti-Semitic jokes. You just can't.
Nope.
Yeah.
You can't be a blonde dude with blue eyes. And he fucking has, like, Bieber white hair right now.
Yep.
It's just not a good look.
No.
But yeah, no, I agree, Jamie. The UI looks really peppy. Like, the thing that struck me in that video was how fast everything moved.
Mm-hmm. I was actually.
I don't know if that's what got you.
I was actually surprised. I mean, I can't remember exactly, but I do recall when I turned on the Switch for the first time. Or, Jesus.
What?
The Wii.
You?
Jamie, are
you having the Switch?
Shh!
You have a Switch?
So when I turned on the Wii U for the first time, I feel like it just took forever, and...
Do you remember the system update that they introduced to speed
mm-hmm.
it up?
Mm-hmm.
It went from, like, 45 seconds to 20.
But I'm not even talking about response time. I'm just talking about, like, needless crazy screens with legalese, a combination of legalese, and also Nintendo just, like, holding your hand unnecessarily, whereas I feel like this guy turned it on... It asked him what language he wanted, and then he was, like, at the home screen in no time, which is awesome. No, yeah, like...
It looked very much like an Apple UI.
There were a lot of questions, but the cool thing about him was each one, as he went through them very quickly, no less, it played an ascending chime. So it was like, do-do, 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 and it just kept going, and it was adorable.
This is the kind of thing that Jeff notices.
Yeah, I did not notice that.
I've only seen this video once. I haven't watched it more than once.
It's awesome.
It definitely felt good.
Yeah,
and
I'm excited.
I love the dark theme. Oh, love that dark theme.
And why can't we hear about it from Nintendo? Why do I have to figure out that if I want to reserve my Switch username, I need to go onto like some Nintendo website and do something obscure from like I found this out from a tweet that you sent me. Why? I don't get it.
I don't know, man. They're probably going to announce it in like 2 days.
Because you'll do it.
It really kind of makes you wonder, like, are they going for a soft launch? Like, is that what they're doing? Are they going to ramp up their advertising in, like, the holiday season? Like, is that the plan? I don't understand.
I don't think they're going for anything. I just think they're doing what they've done for the last 30 years, and they have no idea how to do anything else.
Yep, I think that Nintendo has, if there's one major deficiency with Nintendo, it is understanding the world marketplace.
Yeah.
At least the hardware is sexier this time. But I am worried, though. I gotta be
honest. Yeah, if you take that thing apart, it's so sexy.
I mean, it's also sexy constructed. It looks great. I mean,
yeah. that's what I'm saying. Like, all you guys put those pictures up in the or that link up, and like, yes, it's very cool and how they cobbled all those things together and made it happen.
The battery is huge this time, as opposed to the Wii U, which had a large space in the back of the controller for a larger battery, but it was filled by a very tiny battery for
yes,
God knows
probably
why.
For weight reasons. But no, I think, I mean, forgetting about the aesthetics of the interior of it, I think it is more eye-catching than the Wii U ever was. The Wii U always looked very Fisher-Price, but this is a much more sleek, modern-looking console. Whether or not that's going to translate into success, I mean, it's very similar hardware, which is just kind of hard to ignore.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not similar hardware, but similar performance levels, which just worries me.
I have a story here that the Wall Street Journal reports that the batteries are manufactured by the same people who manufactured the exploding Note 7 batteries, which is scary, but whatever.
I wonder if they got a really good deal.
Yeah. That would be so Nintendo.
Do you think that they were having a fire sale?
Ooh. Maybe they
Nintendo
should switch
blew
providers.
A lot of money on it? What's that, Griff?
Nothing. It was fine. Viewers at home will appreciate that.
All right. I'll appreciate it when I listen later.
Okay.
Have you guys watched the YouTube channel of the guy who stands outside the Nintendo store, and he's like 18, and he's obviously like his parents are super wealthy and are supporting him doing this, and for some reason, just the fact that he's standing outside of the Nintendo World store and he's first in line for Switch makes him a celebrity, and kids are coming up to him and having him sign their 3DSs and stuff, and it makes me want to die.
Do you think he'd sign my boobs?
I think he would, and I think he would show up on his channel if you proposed that.
I think that's enough said about that individual, because there's nothing there.
Yeah.
So, move on.
All right, fine. Hey, Jamie, you want to talk anything about an NPD? You threw that up.
No, I want to hear about Jamie's phone call.
Oh,
in detail.
It was super weird. It was very odd, and the thing that struck me most about this GameStop regional manager calling me on my cell phone.
So wait. Just to paint the picture previously, this is your circle of life from last time where you went to a GameStop, tried to trade in a bunch of stuff, and then get the new PS4 Pro, but they're like, we don't have it. You have to go somewhere else. And then you're like, okay. And then they said, yeah, that other place also had it. So then you wrote a review on it saying, like, that's a bunch of horse apples. And then they caught wind of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they called me literally the next day. So the day after I submitted that review, they called me, and the guy was like extremely serious about it, and he was very concerned. And he's like, "Yeah, I've read the articles too on Kotaku, and I am aware of the program, but you know, we really haven't had an issue with it so far, you know, blah blah blah." And I was like, "Well, that's funny, because the dudes in the store were telling me that it happens all the time." And he's like, "Yeah, we're definitely gonna have to look into it. We're, you know, we're gonna go and we're gonna review the tape." And I was like, "Whoa, okay." That sounds...
Check the tape.
Overly serious.
Could you hear him chomping on his cigar in his, like, leatherback chair as he was talking to you?
No, to be honest with you, he sounded like he was, like, our age. Like, he sounded like he was... He legitimately sounded kind of pissed off at this.
This was Biff Dinkle's dad, Schmiff Dinkle.
Mm-hmm. And, He actually, like, I was surprised that he even acknowledged that the program existed and that it was something that he was aware of. I thought he was just going to be like, I have no idea what you're talking about. I'll go investigate it, though.
You got one of the good GameStop employees. They're the ones who will tell you all the shit, and they're the ones who will deny it till the end of the earth.
Yeah. So, yeah, that was surprising. And I don't know. We'll see. He was like, he had clearly, though... Based on our conversation, he had clearly been through this before, because he was intimating that he would have to investigate the employees. And I said, listen, I really don't want to be responsible for anyone getting fired or anything like that. And he was like, no, don't worry about that. And we obviously won't tell them your name, because we don't want you to go there anymore, so they won't know it was you. So feel free to go again. And I was like, okay, this nice. Is like something you've said before. Oh, man. It's an interesting thing, and it's kind of sad that this is where, like, the retail business is for our hobby.
Yeah. Do you think after he hung up the phone, he turned to the two GameStop employees who were sitting by the phone listening in and went, you think he bought it?
No, he turned to them. They were both strung up, and he said, "You two decide who dies." One of you.
I thought you were gonna say that he presses the button on his chair, and one of the GameStops falls into the death pit.
The whole store.
The twist is, it's the one that was not Circle of Life.
No, yeah.
That's snitches fantastic. Get stitches.
Speaking of snitches, I saved the snitch guys in Dishonored.
He
didn't get thrown into the Wall of Light.
Oh, okay. Oh. I felt like a
badass.
Nice.
That's all.
Resident Evil 7 sold a lot of copies. It's great because it's a great game. You guys got to play it. But you're like, oh, scary. I don't want to play it. You should.
Just say that I thought Overwatch wasn't doing well, and there it is at number 9.
Jamie, could I present that same argument to you for Call of Duty Infinite Warfare? Maybe you should play that because it's pretty good.
I desperately want to play that. I don't want to plunk down $60 for it, and I don't have a subscription to the service that will not be named. So it's kind of tough. Mm-hmm. But I do want to play it.
Overwatch, why does Overwatch have a star next to it?
I don't know.
I'm wondering, I guess that's got to be across consoles? Because this is only physical sales for NPD, right?
But NPD doesn't cover digital sales.
Maybe that's why.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. There. So it's got to only be physical sales.
Right.
That's an impressive number for just physical copies of Overwatch.
Like,
which is like the worst way to buy it.
Yeah. A long time after it's out, too.
Is there an Overwatch that's like the Game of the Year edition or something like that? Maybe is it that lumped into it?
There's the one that has like the extra skins or something. That's like another $10 or something.
Perhaps that's it, where they're saying Overwatch and Overwatch affiliates.
Could be, yeah.
Guys, who is playing Grand Theft Auto 5 like all the time?
Everyone.
All
it's
the
ridiculous.
People.
It's bizarre, though, because I feel like if this many people were playing it religiously, which I think is happening, there would be a larger presence of streams and whatnot on YouTube, and I just haven't come across it. And I
go to Twitch. I'm sure they live stream that shit.
Oh, okay. Yeah. It's more of a Twitch thing. Okay.
They post the occasional Grand Theft Auto 5 online video on Kotaku. Apparently, it wasn't on the front page when you stopped by earlier. I thought it was great that the NES Classic was the third best-selling system of January.
Yep.
That's amazing. Especially given the supply constraints.
Yeah.
But yeah, pretty wild.
Xbox One catching up, that's good for everyone, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that if they had... I think that they're the reason why PS4 is getting external hard drive support, and I think... Honestly, I think that they're the reason why PS4 is even getting boost mode. PS4 Pro, rather, is getting boost mode.
Because which is such an awesome concept. I didn't even think it was possible, honestly. I thought that stuff was going to be, like, clock-dependent, you know?
Yeah. I think that the Pro is really, you know, going to open up a lot now that people realize what you can use it for. Like, Horizon
Zero...
Now that
I own one.
When Horizon Zero Dawn launches, there's going to be a third option... where you can play in 1080p and
all
just
dinosaurs.
All dinosaurs all the time.
Alloy is replaced with a dino.
Just unlocked
man now.
Frame multiplier on it, which is cool. And they just patched FF15, so now you can get like 45 frames per second if you want it instead of 30, which whatever, but still cool.
Did they fix chapter 13?
Nope. That's going to come like a year from
now.
Yes,
they put 45. They put 15 more frames per second into it.
They've increased it by 1.5 times.
Scatman John.
I didn't write this down, and I don't know the details on it too much, but from what I hear, Microsoft has kind of shifted their place in the E3 lineup to be before the a day before their standard time to kick off. So I think that's going to be interesting in terms of what they're launching for the Scorpio and how their E3 presence is going to be at this year. So
Bethesda is back again. They're doing it now. That's just it's one of the big guys now.
Yeah,
which blows
that's good.
Mind. Yeah, I mean, I suppose it is. Yeah, although not so great with their giving away review copies one day or on like day of.
Do you guys think that?
I don't really care about that.
Really?
I think it's pretty scummy.
No, not at all.
Why don't you? Why don't you care about it?
I don't care because I'm going to do my own research and view stuff, and I mean, I'm not a person that's going to go out and drop the full price for a game if I don't believe in it 100%, you know?
But your doing research is hampered by this.
Also, I'm glad that that it won't affect you. A lot of other people. I mean, I don't think it'll affect us, but I think it'll fuck over a lot of people who just give in to the pre-order impulse.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's obviously smart for a publisher to do that. I mean, they have, you know, they have muscles, they can flex them, but it does kind of suck for informed public.
I don't know. To me, it's just a battle of, like, entitled press versus, like, a company that's producing a product, so...
I mean, that's pretty standard across all media, though. Like, a movie, usually the reviews come out well in advance, and you know a movie blows if reviews don't come out until release day.
Right, but they're also, like, on record giving copies of the game away to people. However, those people may be in that company's pocket. So now your job as a smart consumer is to read between the lines of somebody who's saying, like, this is amazing, and using that footage to say, okay, is this really amazing? Am I watching what I'm watching is like real? I need to now take that person's opinions away from what I'm actually seeing. So it puts more onus on the person doing the research versus a third part, a quote unquote, you know, objective third party doing the research for you.
It just seems bad. Like, I don't think this is really something that needs to be debated. It's just kind of like it's really atypical to not have that information on launch day.
I agree.
It's just very odd to have to make that decision. And yes, consumers should wait. Consumers should be patient. Mm-hmm. But they are not.
You don't need to buy stuff day one. I mean, that's what I'm saying. It's like, you definitely do not need to do
but
that.
But it's a phenomenon. I mean, a product makes most, unless it's Grand Theft Auto, a product makes most of its money on day one.
Especially in this environment.
But in the same way that you're saying, like, a publisher should be having to do this, a consumer shouldn't have to buy that product day one.
But that's
like it's the same argument both ways. Well, the market is also like you're right, but I mean it's also like the same argument in the other direction.
But now we live in a world where Jeff can't find Neo anywhere. Like, we live in a world where the number one games retailer in the US is telling people unless they pre-order something, it won't be there on day one.
So you can't go online and download a copy of it?
That's true.
Yeah, I'm not upset about not being able to find Neo. And there really is, I mean, honestly, there really is, for most games, no supply constraint. I just think it's scummy. I mean, it's taking advantage of consumer habits in order to intentionally not provide complete information. Even for quality products, it's not a good look, in my opinion. I mean, fine. Like, yes, the onus is on the consumer to deal with it, but it's not typical, which is why I think it's something that can be highlighted, because most other media you get access to. You get access to impressions before you purchase it.
Whenever I think about this, I always think about Doom, and I wonder if Doom 2016 was terrible, if this would still be the norm now. Because I feel like Doom 2016 came out, no pre-release copies were given to the press, and the game obviously was, like, jaw-droppingly awesome. And so I feel like at that point, people said, okay, publishers said, rather, oh, we don't need to give out, you know, pre-release things, because we didn't for this game and it was awesome, so you guys don't even know anymore, like, whether or not a game is good based on whether or not we give out pre-release copies. I just wonder.
Also, how about this for another way of looking at it? So if games press can't share impressions before the game comes out and most of the purchasing happens on day one, does that not endanger the health of games press?
Yeah, but I also don't care about the health of games press.
But you like Games Press.
I do. I like Games Press, but I also am a educated consumer in that I can do my own investigations without them feeding me that stuff.
If the health of Games Press is endangered, is your ability to do investigation even down the line hindered? Because if they can't provide impressions before the game comes out, they won't get clicks. And if they don't get clicks, they can't invest
resources.
I'm saying
I can watch the PewDiePie video of, if I care that much, I can watch the PewDiePie video of Skyrim for the Switch and say, oh, that's something that I'm interested in, devoid of PewDiePie's influence on it. Like, this is the modern era at this point where this is these are the people they're going to because they make better sales for them. But me, as a smart consumer, I can watch that same video and say, that's not a game I want to play because I'm not wrapped up in the zeitgeist of being a part of PewDiePie's, you know, video series that I have to be playing at this time.
But everyone else is, including me. Like, I'm so impressionable. If I watch these, like, you know, these... If I can watch a video of people from Nintendo playing 1-2 Switch and say to myself, hey, that looks awesome. That looks like a good time. That looks like something I should spend money on. And if it weren't for, like, you know, Giant Bomb getting their hands on it early, talking about it a little bit, I would be like, I wouldn't know that, oh, no, that's actually something I should never spend money on, and this is terrible.
I just feel like it's worse for a consumer's ability to get complete information for paid shills to be showing the game, even if they show it in an unvarnished, undoctored form, which is to say, I mean, they could, you know, just edit and do quick cuts and stuff. But I think it's categorically worse for consumers to have information from corrupted or potentially corruptible sources than, in theory, an unbiased source or a source that has some journalistic integrity.
But I mean, like, those sources are not unbiased. Like,
well, of course they're not unbiased, but. In theory, they have more integrity. I mean, yes, there's a history of those sources being for sale, but you know, your Giant Bombs, your everyone else, I mean, they are less susceptible to kind of backdoor shady deals. That sounds weird. Less susceptible to you know, to secret money being exchanged and payoffs than, you know, so, YouTuber behind a screen.
But the point is then, if I put so much stock into those sources as being my tell-all for what I should be involved with, I will then wait for them to have their final response. I don't need to have the game day one. I mean, you need to balance your own, like lizard brain needs to be a part of this right now versus analyzing the situation versus what you like and want.
What I'm saying is, like, so consumer habits aren't going to change because reviews aren't coming in day one. I mean, that's demonstrable. So consumer habits will stay the same. All that happens is that it drives less traffic to video game websites. So what that means is, in the long run, those sites disappear. So suddenly, your bastions of reasonable, uninfluenced commentary start to vanish. That's the point I'm trying to make. Think of the long game. The long game is to take away the influence of these websites.
Yes, I think you're right. Like, the long game is to take away these groups, but the boutique... The smaller individuals who are able to maintain their own existence will still exist. And if you say, I enjoy going to Giant Bomb or what have you because of these personalities that I trust, that these avenues will still be available for you.
Yeah, I mean, they might be. I mean, it may transform. I just find it troubling.
I feel like this is the perennial thing that we always go with in every single year in video game stuff where you guys are like, the sky is falling, games are over, everything's dead. And it's just like, no, like, get with the times, move on, everything's going to be fine.
I just feel like it's so much easier to be a YouTuber and scream and be ecstatic about everything. I feel like it's much harder to be an intelligent critic. And I feel like, you know, for every...
That I agree with you 100%, Jamie.
For every Jim Sterling there is out there, like, actually being critical about the shovelware that's put out on Steam and even on PS4 these days, there's 100 or 1,000 or 10,000 other streamers who are just getting clicks by screaming and being happy about the fact that they got sent a copy of a game early. And I feel like we need to, like, laud and hold up the people who actually...
To the same extent, going to prevent the sky from falling? Patreon. It's okay. There's Patreon, guys.
But, Jamie, like, to the same extent, like, there's that same demographic of YouTubers that are also, like, the angry gamers that are like, this game sucks. Oh, I'm going to poop all over this game. Like,
but they're not doing it in an intelligent way. I agree
flavor is available for whatever you want to suit your needs in your own little personal echo chamber.
Listen, guys, let me tell you about this great game I picked up. Sega, great friends of mine, they sent me this game. It's called Sonic 2006. It's real good. Sonic, listen, I've been drawing a lot of art of Sonic and him finding romance with human characters, and this game is catering to every need I could possibly imagine.
He's on the take. Don't listen to him.
There is a whale in the first level, and that's amazing.
I can...
I can associate with whales so much.
I completely agree with you, Griff, that even if someone is like an official, you know, spokesperson from Nintendo, you can watch a video where that person is demonstrating a game, and you can, you know, you're seeing the real game for yourself. You can make a decision for yourself whether or not this is something that you're interested in. But as a consumer whore who is very affected by messaging and timing and you know, which things the said person is choosing to highlight in their video, I think it is important to have critical people get a hold of something at the same time, just so that my opinion, which is very easily swayed,
the problem is like you. The point of it is
I'm giving you guys, by the way, I'm giving all of us a 3-minute warning.
Okay,
carry on.
The problem that I see of it is you need to be in there day one, pre-ordered, ready to go at day zero. If you had waited just 1 week to listen to the reviews that you actually trust, then it wouldn't be an issue.
You're giving me so much credit that you shouldn't be giving me.
Guys, I'm going to find out whether or not the Final Fantasy 15 Day Zero edition is still available.
I'm just saying, like, as a consumer society, like, you don't have to buy in on day one.
I know, but it's so hard. It's so very difficult.
Hold on.
You don't have to pre-order.
The day one edition of Final Fantasy 15 is still available. I love it so much. And it's only $40. God damn it. Video
what games does suck. What does PlayStation.com lifestyle.mom.blog have to say about that game? Are they in on the take?
Alright, we're gonna cut this down or cut it right now.
Cut it down?
I think this is as good a time as any to stop talking about this shit because we're never going to agree. Griffin, Dragon Age is a great game. You'll never understand.
What? Kraken Age?
Dragon Gage shotguns. Dragon Gage Origins is a great game.
Oh man.
Dragon Watch.
Jamie and I nailed it. The world is dying, the sky is falling.
Mm-hmm. Watch Age.
Corypheus is really interesting. I read about him.
Hey guys, is there anything else we need to get into here before we lock this bad boy down?
No.
I'd just like to say don't be a slave to consumerism.
No, we're done.
Okay, I'm done. That's it.
That's like telling me to go on a diet or go to the gym. It's like, yes, I know, but it's hard.
Have you not been shredding those ads, Griffin, with Desi, Jamie?
Griffin, I'm not speaking for me, okay? Which person in this trio does not currently own Neo? And is willing to wait till
I also don't Neo. I don't own Neo.
Fuck off. Doesn't matter. I'm speaking for the common man, okay?
Uh-huh.
I'm speaking for the regular NFP on.
I'm speaking for the guy who buys a PS4 Pro. That's who I am.
Yeah, whoever that might be. I don't know who that is. Anyway, we got to wrap this up because we're sitting in an hour and a half. Is there anything else we need to talk about here? I think there's one thing we need to talk about, and it's highlighted in green.
Yeah.
Hey, you guys like Stardew Valley?
I like Star Spoo Valley.
I don't even understand how this works.
You ever wish that you could see a little more Stardew in your valley, if you know what I'm trying to say? So there's a mod. There's a mod for Stardew Valley. Stardew Valley has a weird community. Let's just put that out there. Mm-hmm. It is a farming sim game with dating elements, so it's going to have some weird shit. And somebody decided...
Hey, man, don't like deplore those people that are into that stuff.
Farmers only.
It's fine. Farmersonly.com. It's fine. I mean, you know, it's just they have a very particular audience, and there's going to be some odd elements in there. So, you know, there already was the nudity mod that added nude portraits of the characters. Now they've stepped that up. They've decided that, you know, boys will be boys. All the eligible bachelors in Stardew Valley need to masturbate from time to time. So now they just added a schedule for them to be masturbating.
Do you see anything? How does this work?
I don't know. You're the one who shared the link.
I was too afraid to delve deep into it.
I saw it on my Feedly, and I never actually went beyond just finding out that there is a scheduled masturbation time.
We're all very scared for this.
I ain't scared. I'm going to watch it right now.
Okay, good.
But the point is, yeah, if you ever wish that Stardew Valley had just a little bit more jacking.
Get cracking and download this mod.
So be excited.
Oh, man.
Well, all right, guys. That was awful. So I guess we should end that here. On that high note.
On that bombshell.
Mm-hmm. So going with our theme of last episode, why don't you guys just, you know, say your name and plug your stuff, and then we'll get out of here.
All right. I'm Jeff Brewer. I don't do anything. I occasionally play games. Most of them are mobile games.
I'm James Danger Toasty on YouTube. I'm going to be a doctor soon, so if you need doctoring, just let me know. No problem. I'll get it
That's
done.
How that works, right?
Yeah. Just look me up. Doctors.biz?
Doctors.yahoo.answers.
Yep.
Hey, guys. The mod for Stardew Valley is called Horny Bachelors.
That was actually the same name of the link that Jamie operates his doctor site off, right?
There's an interview by Patrick Klepek on Waypoint. I'm excited.
All right, well, this has been Boss Barrel Radio. I am Griff Hoffman. You can find me on the internet at Griff Hoffman. Also, go to Boss Barrel videos on YouTube or our website, bossbarrel.com, and you can check out the stuff that I occasionally post there. And also, you know, just do your research and be a smart person when
Jesus
it comes to
Jesus Christ,
things.
Griffin, let it go.
You know, Griffin. I've been beating this drum for years, guys.
Let that PS3 go.
I pioneered that thing.
Let it go.
The best advice I ever got.
Screw you, Elsa. I was there before you were.
All right, guys. We're closing the door.